Well, what is it with the church anyway? What is it with the church anyway? Why, and what are we here for? For inspiration, for meaning, for a sense of purpose, for God only knows what. We're here in hopes that we might take something away with us, but there's no telling ahead exactly what that something else might be. Some of us may be here this morning hurting, some in need of comfort, some confused, seeking clarity, some maybe feeling kind of empty, seeking something that will fill that void. Some are lonely, seeking connection. Some will say, oh, they're just fine. It's always good, folks, to consider the question of what in the world are we doing here? Why are we here? And just as important a question is this one. And where are the other folks? Why are there no other people here alongside of us? Where are they, and what are they doing? Over especially the last couple of decades, I've heard more and more people say, church is no longer relevant. It's boring. It's institutionalized. It asks too much of me. It asks too little of me. It's lost its meaning. There's no God, so why pretend? What have you heard people say or give as reasons for why they're not here in worship or in study and service? Statistics do show a major shift downward for attendance and financial stewardship here in the United States, especially in mainline Protestant churches. I think most of us, we know, we've been aware that this has been happening ever since the 1960s, but it's becoming even more apparent. Atheism is growing as well as apathy when it comes to caring for one's own spiritual life. We focus on mind and body, but so many of us forget soul work. But here we are. Here we are in this beautiful day, and we hope. And in the few months that I've been with this congregation, I've heard some of you say that the Ames United Church of Christ has some really outstanding ministries that engage people and help people to grow as Christian disciples. That's important. That's meaningful. We have spiritual lives that need tending, and we here in this congregation, we try to do our part at tending and nurturing those spiritual lives. Now what? Well, a huge clue to what could happen here, I think, is found in the second letter to Timothy that Annalise read. In that very first chapter, take a look at it as I speak this morning. Paul is writing this letter of advice. He's writing it from a prison cell. And he is charging his youthful colleague, maybe not much older than Annalise, who he has chosen to be his successor. He's writing this letter to Timothy, and he is saying, hold to the standard of sound teaching. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you. In some ways, to me, it sounds like he is saying, hey, hunker down. Hunker down, hold tight, try not to make any sudden moves. I guess it makes some sense, because we know that this letter was written in very perilous times at the end of the very first century, and the outlook for Christianity's survival was very bleak, slim to none. Jesus had long ago left the scene and doesn't seem to be in a big hurry to come back. Everyone, you know, thought Jesus was going to be back right away. But now, years, decades have passed. And the Jesus movement is in its second or third generation. And there are people who are still kind of a bit wet behind the ear. They're untested. They're inexperienced. And to make matters really worse, the empire is striking the Christians down. So will these rookie early Christians be equal to the tasks that are ahead of them? Will the early church make it to its 150th birthday? Nobody knows. What would you do in such a tough situation? Do we turn inward and do we go conservative? Do we become less creative and more preservation? Do we encourage fewer prophets and have more priests? Less democracy and more hierarchy? Less chaos, more structure? Well, that's what the early church started to do. Threatened from without and from within, feeling very uncertain and very insecure, the early church took its traditions and teachings and clung on to them with kind of a very firm, unyielding grip. And as it turned out, that was a hard habit to break. And here we are centuries later. And sometimes I feel like the church still clings to the traditions of our elders. I'm willing to pretty much say, probably even here in this congregation, there are voices who would just as soon believe what we have always believed and do things the way things have always been done. And a lot of people in the world today are saying that this is what's wrong with the church. People of faith who cannot let go of inadequate traditions and outdated beliefs that no longer seem to hold or apply. You see, the world we live in is a new world. The global village is shrinking, and not all of us are all that appreciative of our neighbors. Five times a day, every day, beginning at dawn, the Muslims' call to prayer rings out in the streets of Dearborn, Michigan. I have heard that people can hear that call to prayer from half a mile away. Are we up to the challenges of living in that kind of world? When so many cling still to the faith of our mothers and fathers, and when such religious certitude or zeal brings forth a religious violence with more and more regularity, it is worth wondering together whether this advice of 2 Timothy might not be part of our modern problem. Hold on to your teaching. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you. Resist, react, dig in. And yet isn't that what is wrong with religion? Isn't that what has gotten us into a mess today in the first place? I so often throughout my ministry, I have been so absolutely amazed that the early church survived. And not just survived, but was able to turn this world upside down, inside out. How did they do it? What did the early church know that we don't seem to understand today? It's easy to miss, but look here in this first chapter of 2 Timothy, kind of tucked in between the greeting at the beginning and the statements about preserving tradition of the past at the end, right there in the middle, we find this line in verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you." rekindle the gift of God that is within you. Rekindle. That sounds perhaps a bit different. It might even sound a bit dangerous. Rekindle the gift. Is that conservative? You see, I kind of have this image of playing with fire. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you. I think maybe that's why we're here today. Rekindle the gift. And what gift? Elsewhere, the passage talks about the traditions and teachings of the faith as the gift entrusted to Timothy, the gift that Timothy must guard so carefully. But exactly how do you guard such a gift? Do you hold as tight as you can to old traditions? Do you muffle and smother and stifle the teachings? Or do you do what I'd like to do when I was a young boy? Do you kind of poke and prod a little? Do you coax and breathe and blow, bringing back a roaring fire? Rekindle the gift. Isn't Timothy being told to reach for lighter fluid? The Church of 2 Timothy might seem a little bit stodgy, but in their own way, I think perhaps they were playing with fire. They took the teachings of Jesus and the traditions of Paul and fashioned them into something new, something quite shocking. They made Christianity a system of deliberately resisting the Roman Empire. They are defying the empire, and they're saying that Jesus Christ is the Savior and not that Roman Emperor. That's dangerous stuff. Every time these people have church, they're speaking against the empire, and they're pledging their authority to another higher authority. Every single worship service is an act of service of treason. Talk about playing with fire. But that's how they guarded the good treasure. So here we are today, Ames United Church of Christ, 150 years old plus as a congregation. And what do we have to show for it? We have a beautiful place of worship. We have a home base from which we can serve this community and reach out into the world. Oh, can we only but imagine the hearts that have been warmed, the souls that have come to know the love of God here in this place. 15 long decades of faithfulness, steadfast faithfulness. We've seen good times and challenging times, but always there have been that time of being committed to love. We have been entrusted with good treasure. So on this Worldwide Communion Sunday, let's remember and let's celebrate that this congregation has had a great tradition of building relationships across the dividing walls that would want to separate people. Sitting here in the heart of Ames, ever since the end of the 19th century and the early years of the 20th century, this church has been about making connections and fostering a spirit of cooperation and collaboration with our ecumenical partners and persons of other religious faiths. Now, friends, we have a great heritage. A good treasure has been entrusted to us. So what do we do with it now? I suppose we could timidly tend to our tradition, or we can rekindle the gift in our time, in this moment of history. As the world shrinks as fundamentalists and progressives, as Muslims and Christians, increasingly cannot ignore one another, someone has to start reaching out. Somebody needs to risk a relationship with people who threaten us. Somebody has got to find a better approach than killing all of them before they can kill us. In other words, somebody will need to do the kind of things that this congregation has sought to do throughout its history. So I figure it might as well be us now. This is the time when we're called to actively rekindle the gift. The passage from 2 Timothy ends with these words, "Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us." With the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. God may not ask us to play it safe, but neither does God ask us to go do it alone. The Spirit of the living God moves in and among us. And let me tell you something I know to be true about that Holy Spirit. Oh, that Holy Spirit, she's stubborn. She has a habit of poking and prodding at us, of coaxing us and breathing and blowing on us. Sometimes she even reaches for the lighter fluid. At this table, where all of God's people in every time and every place gather together to break bread and share the cup, at this table, something starts to stir and to smolder within us. We just might today come roaring back to life. New life. The gift of God rekindled once again. Come to the table. Rekindle the gift. Amen.